All right, so the topic tonight, because it's a seasonal topic of permission to give, or what's the halacha of giving gifts to Gentiles around this time of year, okay, for those who think about giving gifts to the employees.
Is it the same thing as having a party?
Like a holiday party?
It isn't, not necessarily. So let's take a look at the halacha, we'll see the... The original concern is based on the first Mishnah in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah there says that you're not allowed to do, and we'll soon see the Shulchan Aruch about this, you're not allowed to do business with Goyim 3 days before. Okay?
A holiday?
3 days before the holiday.
The holiday or a holiday?
Any of their holidays. Any of their idolatrous holidays.
Business?
Yeah. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch.
It's not specifically about Christ Day, whatever, it's Christmas. It's not specifically about that.
No. Any idolatrous holiday. Okay? And the concept is because what happens when a person does well in business, what do you say? Thank God.
Nah.
So you're triggering in them a connection to their Avodah Zarah, to their God. And that we want to stay away from. So Halacha also talks about that you're not allowed to give gifts to Goyim, okay? But here it's more a little bit more limited, a little bit more, I guess, generous in the sense where it's not so limited of 3 days before, but only specifically on the day itself. And I guess because the idea of giving the receiving of a gift is nice, it's not the same impact as business. When I get a gift, I'm happy to get the gift, but I'm not going to say 3 days before. You know, if a guy gets a gift on the 20th, he's not going to say, "Oh, thank Jesus," right? But if he's to get, maybe business will, you know, initiate that more because that's more impactful in his life typically. Okay, so let's take a look. So here is in Yerodea Simen Kuf Mem Ches. Halacha says, "Also shloach doron lo'ev kachavim." It's forbidden to send a gift to a non-Jew. I specifically underlined lo'ev kachavim because it's not just about being a Gentile. It's specifically being about an idolater. The Yom Chagam and the days of Chagam are the day of their holiday. Elin kein noydu lo she'enu moide be'elilim. Unless you know that they do not recognize or pay tribute to their gods. Ve'enu ovdim, and they're not so religious, modern Orthodox. Okay, they're not so religious in the sense where they don't necessarily commit to worshiping the gods per se. And so too, if the opposite happens, that the goy sends a gift to a non-Jew on the goyish holiday, he should not take it from him because that's going to make the goy feel good on his holiday. And if there's concern about creating discord, which is obviously very relevant in business relationships, so then mekabloi, you gotta take it. Vizrokenu b'fun of the bor olamakim ha'avid kolach yad. You kind of get rid of it, but in a accidental way. You know the famous story with what they say with Rashi's father, the whole story. Remember the famous story? Wow. Very famous story that Rashi was born.
Rabbi went to Eula.
No, because he's Persian. What do you know about Rashi? Okay.
I was always with
Ashkenazi. No, it was a very famous story. Rashi's father was a diamond dealer. And he had gotten hold of a very precious stone. And one day he gets a knock on the door, and it's a messenger from the king or from the big church that they need a specific stone because the stone of one of the idols got lost. Fell out and got lost. And they heard that he has it. They heard that he has this very precious stone and they want to purchase it from him. Well, heck, he can't say no to the church or to the king. So he says, fine. And he says, let's go. And he gets on the boat. And he's thinking, what should I do? I don't want to sell to them. I'm not allowed to sell to them. I can't give it to them. But what should I do? So it varies at this point. Variations of the story exactly, but it sounds like one of the representatives said, "Hey, let me see it. You know, can I see the diamond?" They're talking. You know, they're talking on the ship on the dock, not the dock on the what's it called the on the deck, and what he took an opportunity. And as he's like handing it to, like, he fumbled with it and dropped it into the ocean. Okay? Mm. And lost all that money.
Oh my God.
Lost all that money. Whatever it was valued. And they were going to pay him whatever amount he wanted. And either I think he had a dream right afterward that someone came to him with dreams, and that merit that you gave away such wealth on Hashem, you'll have a child that's going to illuminate the world, obviously in place of the diamond, that's going to illuminate the world with his Torah. And that was Rashi. That was Rashi. So it's a famous, famous story.
I can't believe you never told me the story before.
I probably did.
Really?
not necessarily. But the postscript of the story actually is that when Rashi's mother was pregnant, so she was walking through this kind of tunnel, and a horse and buggy was coming through, and there was not enough room. And of course, why should the horse and buggy stop for a pregnant Jewish woman? And she had nothing, no place to move. So she leaned up against the wall, and the wall caved in.
Mm.
And they say that till today, the indentation is there, and even the Goyim know about the story.
In Italy.
In France. He was born in Germany and then moved to France. So. But it's still there. It's still there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway, so that's what Halacha says, that you have to take that core, take the God object and try to get rid of it, not in an insulting way, but you should not give him that much hana, but actually keeping it and holding it. Because even the fact that he gave it to you, but if he sees right away that it got lost, you don't have any, but you drop the gift, you drop the vase, you drop the iPad, and now it's broken, he's going to feel terrible. You'll feel like an idiot, like a klutz, because he won't have the same hanah, the same nachas. Okay? So that's the first halacha. So, but what's the important thing over here? The important point is that the only way you're allowed to give him this gift, the only permission you have, is if you know that he doesn't himself necessarily observe the religion and pay tribute to the gods. Okay? What's the source of this statement is the next page of Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Gemara told over a crazy story. I could have kept it short, but it's such a fantastic story. It's good to see the whole thing. So Rava Amte Le Korbana Levashishach. Rava gave a gift to Bashishach, who was a dignitary of that time, but not Jewish. B'yom Edom, on the day of their celebrations, of their religion. And he justified himself. So Rava justified himself by saying that I know that he does not worship the idols, he does not worship the gods, and therefore it's permitted. So that's really where this topic ends. To say the fact that you see that they're not, as long as the non-Jew is not a practicing adulterer, so then it's okay to give them the gift even on the day of the holiday. So Azra Ashkechen, here's the rest of the story, just for the fun of it. Azra Ashkechen, the Yosef at Tzavari B'vada, he came in and he sees this magistrate, or whatever position he had, was sitting in a, up to his neck, in rose water. He was bathing in rose water. Okay, pleasant, relaxing. The Kaiman Zainus Arumas Kamei, and there was naked prostitutes standing around him. So Amulei Islichzel, and Rava walks in, this is the scene he walks into. So Amulei Islichu Kihai Gavna La Alma Da'asi, he said, does it get better than this? he said to Rava, in your next world, it gets better than this. So he said to him, Samay Didon Adifa Tfei Mihai. He said, not only is it better, he said, ours is even better than this. Amulei Tfei Mihai Mihave. He says, is it possible to get better than this? What can be better? Amulei Asun Iko Alai Imsa de Machusa. Analotavi Allah Imsa de Machusa. He said, you have upon you the fear of the government. You have the constant fear of the government upon you, the constant pressure. He said, once we're going to be enjoying our world, nowadays we're suffering, and we recognize that there are issues. But you're comparing what you have in this world to our next world. So he says, our next world doesn't have any governmental pressure. So that's what Rava said back to him. So Amalei, Anna, me have me and my aim to the Malchus Igalai. He said, why do I have any pressure for me? I'm a very high powered position person. No one's pressuring me, no one's telling me what to do. I'm great. It doesn't get better than this. So Adi Yosvi also who Pesitka the Malka. Before Rav had a chance to properly sit down, a government official came, a messenger came. Amalei Kum the Kiboy Lachal Malka. He said, get up, because the king wants you. So here he's at that moment, right? God proves his point pretty strongly. The moment he's bathing and enjoying the greatest indulgence, boasting that he has no pressure, the king said he has no choice. He has to get up. He has to get out of the rose water, get dressed, leave all behind. You know, now we really, you know, it's hard to pull yourself away from that. And why does he have to? Because the king said, I want to speak to you. There's no choice. There's no choice. So, as he got up to leave, he turned to Rav. He said, any person whose eye has a bad eye against you, anyone who looks at you with a bad eye, with a bad intent, and wants to see bad come upon you, his eye should burst. Because he saw Rav, how right Rav was, and how his words came so true, that Rav said that maybe your enjoyment is better, but it's not really full enjoyment because you still have pressures on you. You can't really, really, really enjoy. And he said, but in Olam Haba, once we're there. There's no pressure. We're done. So he said, and he realized how correct Rav was, so he gave him this blessing. Amalei Rav, Amen. Rav said, Amen. What happened? Poka Eina Debashisha. Right then, this guy's eye popped out or exploded because he really had bad intent against Rav. He was angry at him. Isn't that a fascinating story?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point of the story goes back to the very beginning, that Rav said, I'm justified by presenting a gift to this person because I know he does not worship the idols of his religion. Nowadays, we don't have, at least in the States, in our community, in our cities, we don't have real idol worship. Right? The other two prominent religions besides Judaism is obviously Christianity and Islam. Okay? So what's their halachic status? So let's take a look at the Rambam. So Rambam says famously, Ger Toishav, a person who wants to live amongst the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, how is he defined? For who should kibbel olav sheva mitzvahs, k'moshe b'yanu, any non-Jew who chooses to live in Israel amongst the Jews, and he takes upon himself willingly the seven mitzvahs of Noach, k'moshe b'yanu, like we've explained, yeinu osu b'shtia, you may not drink his wine, u'mutu b'haniya, but you're allowed to get hanaf from him. It's not considered mamish a full-blown wine owned by a Jew, which you can't even get hanaf, but you can get benefit from it. U'yachden eslo yayim, v'eim afkidin eslo yayim. And you're allowed to miyachid wine by him, but you can't be mafkid. Okay, so there's a certain level that you can entrust wine to him on a certain level. And so to any non-Jew who does not worship idol, idolatry is the same thing that you can't drink his wine, but you could benefit. Just like the Ishmaelim, that means what? Yeinu asa b'shtiyah u'mutu b'anah. The yayin is asa for drinking, but mutu b'anah. V'chein horu kol ha-goyim. So to all of the goyim, the earlier stages, has already declared this as halachically acceptable. Avala neitzrim. But he talked about Christianity, he talked about the Christians. Eiv de'avar zorahim. They are idol worshippers. That's what Rambam says. V'stam yeinu asa b'anah. And their regular yayin, even their regular wine, automatically becomes asa b'anah. So Rambam says that the wine is asur b'hanah, you can't get benefit, because he categorizes Christians as idolaters. Okay, so if that would be true, so that according to the Rambam, then you can't present to an average Christian a gift on the holiday. Because, especially if you know he's a practicing Christian, if he goes to church and etc., so then you cannot give them a gift on the holiday. Because you're going to, obviously, like the halacha says, is going to compel him. It's going to promote, not promote, but it's going to get him to say, to thank his God. And that can't be done. Okay? But not even agree with this. It's a big machlokas. And we'll see, take a look at the next page, the Ramah. The Mar, based on other Rishonim, disagree with the Rambam. It says, Hagav Yesh Makilin Basias Shutfus Imagoyim. There are those who are lenient. So the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, was talking about whether you're allowed to engage in business with idolaters, because what's going to happen whenever it comes up that somebody must take a vow or swear about something, so they're going to end up swearing based on their religion. Okay, and then you may have to swear on that the same thing. Okay, but we're concerned that you can end up making him make a swear, and you can't even, because even a non-Jew can't swear to an idol, to a foreign god. So he says, Ramah, B'yesh makilim basir shutfus im ha-goyim b'zman hazeh. There are those who are lenient when it comes to becoming partners with goyim in our time. B'shem she'eino goyim b'zman hazeh nishboyim b'avodah zarah. Because first of all, the goyim of our generation, of our time, says Ramah, don't swear in the name of their avodah zarah. B'afa gav the maskirin avodah zarah, and even when they do mention it, mikol makom kavanosim lo'oseh shemayim v'oretz, the kavana is to he, only to God, the single God who created heaven and earth. So in other words, when you talk about Islam and the Ishmaelim and the Muslims, so there's no problem because we all know that they are as monotheistic as we are. Okay, they believe in the single God like we believe in the single God. They believe in the single creator like we believe in the single creator. The difference is, who is their prophet? And after that's where all things fall apart. But as far as the God concept is concerned, there's no distinction between us and the Arabs. However, when it comes to Christianity, they have a concept called the partnership, the shutfus. Meaning what? They don't not discuss a God. They do not have a creator. But they have a thing where the God had a son, as we know what the facts are, what they believe in. So that's not total idolatry. Because they're not recognizing a single creator. But they say that this creator has other embodiments, has other, right? The classic Christian bottom line belief is that this Jesus is a full human and full deity.
I heard somewhere that non-Jewish, they're allowed to have a mediator to connect to Hashem. They can get, I don't know if it's
a mediator is one thing. But not to make the mediator into a part God. We had Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
We had Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not the problem. The problem is that we never call Moshe Rabbeinu a God. So when the Christians gave status to Jesus, he has the status of a deity, that's where the problem begins.
So they say that he's essentially a God, and then through him you have to go talk to the main God.
Correct. In fact, The real belief is that the main God doesn't want to hear directly from us.
Also, I hear from him.
Only hear from him. Because, historically speaking, because what happened? Because God really was the God of the Jewish people. But then God got angry at the Jews. So then he created this child called Jesus, who's now going to represent him in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we, as the spurned children who God got angry at us, but we never returned back to him. So now, everything's dependent on us. That's why they're so obsessed with converting Jews. Mm-hmm. Because the whole belief is based on the fact that God's original connection was through us. And as long as we keep denying our relationship with him and don't do... So now...
Makes a lot of sense. That's why a lot of them are very friendly to you.
And that's why they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in what do you call it? Missionaries in Israel, specifically in Israel, because also they believe that once all the Jews come back to Israel,
boom,
that's all good. So that we share the same, right? Similar beliefs. Okay.
One more question.
Yeah.
Back to the Christian, we cannot give any gift for their holidays.
Uh huh.
Even if you have a business with them and they.
Okay, so that's we're gonna talk about. That's what we're getting up to now. Okay. So he said, "Mishum she'ena goyim b'zman hazeh nishboim b'avodazara va'af agav demaskirim b'avodazara mikol mokom kavanosu lo'oseh shem v'oretz el shemishatfim im shem shemayim v'dover acher." And he said, rather, what they do is when they talk about their God, they talk about their God and something else. That's not called putting a stumbling block in front of them. Because the goy is not prohibited against worshiping within this concept called a partnership. In other words, we as Jews, what is the Isser? For us, the prohibition is worshiping anything which is anything but God. For them, the prohibition is worshiping only idols. It's a slightly different boundary. We're more stricter. We have no flexibility. It's God and only God. By them, it can't be only idols. But if you have a situation where there's a partnership, this is what according to the Ramah, and where it's a combination between a God and somebody else, that's also okay. Even though it's not only God, that's a Jewish standard, not the non-Jew standard. The non-Jew standard is it can't be just idols. It doesn't have to be only God. It can't be just idols. So that's what he's saying. So he says there ain't a goy in Muzor Mashitov because the goyim are not forbidden against Shitov. So that's not so bad. So therefore, says the Ramah, that what the Christians believe in is not called the classic idolatry. Therefore, he continues, Velas says, Iman Belashos for us, the Kuli Amishar, and to do business with them without a partnership is for sure permitted because there's no prohibition. The only prohibition is because you may come to do cause him to swear and cause him to swear in the name of his God. But if you're in a typical interaction with a Gentile, you're not coming to swearing. So there's no problem, right? And as long as it's not happening on the actual days of their holiday, but that's for a different reason, because then you don't want to give them the enjoyment, you don't want to give them the gratitude towards their God. But as far as business is concerned, so the Ramah said it's not a problem. Okay? So you have that. So you have a machlokas between the Ramah and the Rambam. Okay? Now the next page, just to show you, just to get back to what we spoke about a little bit earlier, that even 3 days, Shloshi Yomim, Lefnei Chigam, Shal Avir Kachavim, Asu Likachim Mehem Lun Kolehem, Dava Miskayim, Umut Lun Kolehem, Dava She'enu Miskayim. He says, Adon Chagam, he says that you're not 3 days prior to the holiday, you're not allowed to sell them or give them something which is going to last until the holiday. You can't do business with them, okay? Interact with them. I can't sell them something which is going to last the holiday. Okay, so this is already kind of a stricter rule. But now, if you take a look in the next page, next Shulchan Aruch, so here the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. V'yesh oimim she'ein kol devorim elu amurim elu bo'oisei zman. So now, this is the Shulchan Aruch himself talking, even though Shulchan Aruch typically follows the Rambam, and he himself has some stringent approaches about not doing business with them, etc., etc. But here he writes that all this discussion is only in regard to those days. But they themselves are not so knowledgeable in the aspects of their God. Therefore, you are allowed to do business with them even on their holiday and interact with them on anything else. There's no limitations, he says, except for maybe giving gifts. But so, as far as business is concerned, there's no limitation. Then the Ramah adds something very, very interesting. Even if you give money directly to their priest, in oisim men takuvus, you're not creating a gesture or you're not pushing them to be able to necessarily thank their God. Why? Or noi elilim, or benefit, or it's not going to. I'm sorry. We're not necessarily concerned that this money's going to end up in the hands of the church, or noi elilim, or and to benefit today. You know, today there's this whole thing now because the churches started creating their own private insurance, health, medical insurance companies, mm-hmm. And it's a very big thing.
The radio, you hear all that.
Correct, because they're stuck with they don't want to be part of the whole thing where they permit contraceptives and these type of things. So they've created some of their own medical insurances, and Jews want to sign up on it. But it's a big problem because a percentage of it goes to the church. Percentage goes to the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the problem. Okay? So it could be this remote, maybe help it make it a little bit lenient. But rather, if you give money to the priest of the church, what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up eating and drinking with themselves. And second of all, if you don't do business with them, it's going to create discord, and that's a big problem as well. If it comes apparent and obvious that we're separating ourselves from them on the, because it's their holiday, okay. And since we are found amongst them, that we have to be able to interact with them throughout the year. This is right. And therefore, if you go into a city and you find them celebrating on their holiday, Yismach imahem, you're allowed to rejoice with them, mishum eva, because of hatred. So this first of all brings us back a little to the discussion about the holiday parties that businesses have. So that would be permitted because of the eva factor that you don't want to create any kind of discord.
Can you be the person that's throwing it though?
Yes,
you have to.
No, so there you obviously don't do it on the day itself.
Don't dress in a Santa Claus costume.
Don't do it on the day itself. You do a couple of days before and call the holiday things. See, this year is actually a little bit harder. In a typical year, when Hanukkah comes out so close to Christmas, they just call it a holiday party. And Jews and non-Jews come together. Okay?
My friend had a holiday party. I just wore a Hanukkah sweater and I went.
Okay.
I know people that have businesses and they have maybe 10 or 15 employees that are non-Jewish.
Yeah.
And they feel obligated to do it because
all... Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine.
It's like a perk that they look forward to.
100%. Yeah, and you have to find the right boundary, not to make it overly this, overly that. But again, I think nowadays for most people, it's just a party. No one's looking at a very religious thing. That's number one. And number two is... the other question, though, is... So, if you don't make the party, the primary permission to attend or to interact is because of Ava, because of it can create animosity or discord.
Absolutely.
Now, you think so?
Absolutely. It's going to create discord and animosity.
Against Jews? Or against you?
Against Jews, us, me, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No question about it.
Okay, so I would thought differently. I thought people were more tolerant these days.
They may outwardly be tolerant, but realistically, they say to themselves, oh, these guys are not throwing the party because it's not for them. Yeah. Therefore, they don't care about us. Straight up, they'll tell us that. Yeah. And they know us well enough to be able to tell me that.
Right.
And they tell them, damn, you know, you're not throwing the party because you're just not Hanukkah. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. I hear. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So this is what we did. We just went to throw them all to Disneyland. Took them all to Disneyland.
Okay.
Last month. Took them all to Disneyland and said, hey,
good.
No Christmas party, nothing. Disneyland.
Okay. No complaints.
Nope. He's very happy.
No complaints, yeah. I would have joined.
Yeah.
Okay.
More expensive than a holiday party.
Yeah. What, $100 a person?
It is, but we went to a party for two other girls' birthdays. Everything. Everybody else.
Quite the place to work.
Right.
Maybe I can. Okay.
I didn't go.
Let's finish up. B'chein im sholeach doron l'goy b'zman hazeh b'yoyim. Listen right. Right. On the 8th day after Christmas, which is called New Year. Okay? Sheyesh lem simin im yagir lehem doron b'chagahu, im efshalo sheyishlach lehem b'erev, im lo yishlach lehem b'chag atzmai. If you can have them send the gift the day before, it's better. But if you can't do that, then do it on the day itself. It's okay. Okay? So we're drawing together different reasons to be lenient. One is because... First of all, the Ramah says that it may not be really idol worshipping. And even the Shulchan Aruch, who normally will follow the Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch himself seems to be strict in most places, according about that it is called idolatry. He says, number one, that's only for people actually celebrating the idolatry itself. Right? If it's obvious, so I'm sure that amongst your staff, even those who claim to be, you know, who celebrate Christmas, they're not, most of them are not very, very religious. Most of them are not really going to church or, you know, or paying much attention in church. And even amongst them, then says the Mechaber, they don't really necessarily know what it's all about. They can't answer most questions themselves. They don't really understand what it is or isn't. They just follow along what they've been taught. And then all the Ramah says, first of all, if you give money directly to the church, you're not giving money directly to the church anyway. So there's a lot of layers of leniencies that we rely upon.
Are we trying to say that if we give them a gift or participate in the party, that we're giving money to the church?
No, that not. But he's just mentioning that as the other issue, the other concern. Okay, But the point though is that if you give, the main consideration is about giving gifts, about giving gifts to them that will trigger in them a response of thanking their God. Now, the other question you have to be careful about, this I think you need to be careful about, is when people say, you know, Merry Christmas, that would be inappropriate to say back.
I say that all the time.
So I would stay away from that, because that's already wishing them, that's already giving recognition to the religion as it is against ours. So that's inappropriate for us to do that. You could say happy holidays, you know, or you know, wish you a happy year or something like that, you know.
Come back to work tomorrow, please.
Season greed. No, have a good season.
Now, if you're buying a gift for people that are Jewish but don't keep kosher, does it have to be kosher?
100%. You can't do any. You can't quit anything. The fact that they don't keep kosher means doesn't mean that it's not that they are not kosher.
Oh, that's it. That was a big problem. The gift basket, super expensive.
Yeah, right. The kosher ones are double.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have to give them because you don't know who's
going to
eat it.
Right, for sure.
I know this guy's not Jewish, but I don't know.
Yeah.